Lesson this morning is from James chapter 5, starting in the 7th verse. Be patient, then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no, or you will be condemned. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning at the 5th verse. If you'd like to follow along using the Pew Bible, you can find it on page 971. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen, and what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and on all of this on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by your parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair on your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life." This is the gospel of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Morning.
Morning.
Hi, Dan. So I found the following post on a website called Hello Giggles. I'm not joking. Hello Giggles. By a blogger called Gina Weinstein. She wrote this. "I'm told to be patient at least once daily. Be patient is my mantra, my spiritual om and annual New Year's resolution that I try to follow every single day. But I end up failing because guess what? I'm an impatient person. I like instant gratification. I like things to happen right away. I like results. Waiting is not just something I'm good at, and it can kind of be a problem sometimes, since most things in life take time. The world is not a friendly place for us impatient people. Everyday tasks seem simple, easy, or quick can often take what is forever in our word bank, and it's awful." So Gina gave then a list of things that she finds really hard to wait for, and I'll share some of these with you, see if they resonate. Waiting at the doctor's office. Calling your internet service provider. Going to the mall with your friends when you have no plans to buy anything. Sitting in the movie theater waiting for the movie to start. Waiting for someone to email you back when you've asked them something. Waiting an entire year for your show to start the new season. And what about getting your friend the perfect present and wanting to tell them all about it? It is inevitable in our fast-paced world that we get used to things happening quicker than quick. The list that we just looked at is pretty tongue-in-cheek. There are things in our lives where patience is required, if only because the things or the event or person we are waiting for has not yet arrived. There may be times when we wait and our confidence that the thing is going to arrive slowly erodes as we wait. And instead of being confident, we are worn down with worry and doubt. And how can we not be worn down with worry and doubt with the week we've just had? One pundit writing in the Atlantic magazine, it's someone called Julie Beck, has labeled what we are feeling, what we may be feeling, after the U.S. election as collective trauma. This is what happens when there is a disruption to the social order. The trauma comes from both the feeling of implicit uncertainty for some and explicit uncertainty for others, like newcomers, Muslims, women, LGBTQ folk, based on the comments that the president-elect made during the campaign. Surely there is also trauma in witnessing the results of the election, which surely demonstrates a fractured nation. Trump did not invent institutional racism or sexism, but he certainly was able to leverage it. Now, Beck argues that in this type of situation, there can be a tendency for people to go into self-care mode, focusing on themselves to improve their mood. However, she says, inward focus can create isolation. Instead, she argues, the best thing to do after collective trauma is collective care, to reinvigorate community links and build community resilience. Now, one of the results of suffering is that it can be very hard to see beyond the immediate situation. Maybe that's familiar to you. What can this look like? Well, to add to what you know already, it can feel like it will never end. It can feel like you have no control. It can feel like there is no hope. It can feel that you start to resent other people who don't understand what you're going through. You can get angry. Well, James is teaching into this well-known human experience of suffering. And he knows that it is hard. But he goes straight to an organic answer. And if you want to crack open your Pew Bibles or your Bibles on your phone or however you access the word to James 5, James goes straight to an organic answer. Look to the farmer. The farmer is the one who waits for the crop, the one who waits for rains in their season. The farmer prepares the soil. They till it, they fertilize it, they plant seeds, they wait for the rains, they tend to the soil some more, they watch the growing crop, and they wait, and they weed. They chase the birds away. They tend, they wait. Farmers cannot accelerate the growing cycle, but neither is the farmer idle. So too with the prophets. The people of Israel waited centuries for the long-promised Messiah. The prophets were given the gift of seeing the truth beyond their immediate reality, to see a heavenly dimension and time scale intersecting with their own earthly one. And the prophets got hit hard for speaking the truth at times of suffering. Take Jeremiah, for instance. First off, when God taps him on the shoulder in chapter 1 of the book of Jeremiah, you should know what he says. Now, it's especially good for those of us who are younger. Jeremiah says, "Hold it, Master God. Look at me. I know nothing. I'm only a boy." So God replies like this: "Don't say I'm only a boy. I'll tell you where to go and you'll go there. I'll tell you what to say and you'll say it. Don't be afraid of a soul. I'll be right there looking after you." And Jeremiah is given the job of telling Judah that they were facing invasion and eventual captivity in Babylon, the mighty empire of Babylon. Doing this work was extremely costly for him. His own family betrayed him. He is beaten and put in stocks by the temple officials. He is imprisoned by the king. He is threatened with death, and he is thrown down a cistern. And even with all of this, somehow Jeremiah was able to see beyond the immediate situation. James tells us, look, he says, look at the prophets. And he also says, look at Job. And there's a book dedicated to the prophecy of Jeremiah, there's a book all about Job. Job is, according to James, somebody who shows steadfastness. So imagine, I think, a great way to visualize steadfastness is a sumo wrestler. And I don't know if you can see the sumo wrestler in me. But can you? Yeah. Yeah. I know. I'm sure there's a proper stance. I haven't perfected it yet. And yeah, you don't go there with the outfit. But imagine a sumo wrestler, the athlete, the one who trains and is strong and powerful, who stands his ground even though his opponents are trying to push him out of the ring. So too is Job, steadfast. He stands his ground. And if you've never read the book of Job, do it. One of the problems about Job is people refer to Job without having read it. Job is painful, hard, and it gives great insight. Anyway. So Job is a blameless man whose happy life is interrupted by crisis and extreme personal loss. Job perseveres. And he's not passive, just like the farmer. Instead, he engages his friends. He loses his temper. He demands that God explains why he's suffering. And he doesn't understand what's going on. And he doesn't like it. Read chapter 23, for example. It is costly for those of us who know suffering. Now, patience in suffering is not to deny the sting and pain of it. No, it is rather to acknowledge and be completely realistic about it, knowing that we are weak in suffering, weak by suffering, and that we need the gift of the Holy Spirit to somehow crawl our way through it. And the fact that patience is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit tells us that God has given it to us because we're going to need it as we walk the way of Jesus. Have a look at the list of gifts of the Spirit in Galatians 5. So we should not be surprised that suffering is hard. The converse of patience is impatience. I'm sure there are more. We could go all sorts of places, but impatience is one of them. And impatience can be a form of human pride and arrogance. We imagine that we know the way it should be, and it can be a way of pushing God out of the equation, that we know better than God. Patience is waiting for God to fulfill his promises to us, and it takes time, oftentimes longer than we would like, maybe even longer than we will ever be able to see. And we need to be active, though, at the same time in our waiting, we wait with God's help. Knowing where we are headed, that is to say, as James refers to it, the purpose of the Lord. God has a purpose, and that is where we are headed. We are waiting for the completion of the overlap of heaven and earth, living now as beloved children of God, as we will then, and also now living with integrity, letting our yes be yes and our no be no, even in the post-truth culture that we find ourselves in right now. So choose your metaphor. Choose the farmer. Choose a prophet. And all of this, whatever, however we choose to follow, all of this is only possible because our God is, as James says, full of compassion and merciful. Amen.